Josh is here and he's fumbling for the headsets. You've got to get the mic up there, Josh. You've got to get that on your ear. It all happens very quickly because Jem is crying so much this morning. She's not moving that fast. She doesn't know how a life can actually move on without the presence of the Big Sports Breakfast team. G'day, Josh.
G'day, boys.
Good to see you, mate. We've got plenty of topics to get through. Let's start with Daly Cherry Evans, the possibility of selection for Queensland. His form is impeccable. There's rumours that he doesn't get on or doesn't fit in. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, I think the main person, if he did have some issues internally, was with Jonathan Thurston.
Right.
And with Thurston no longer being there, that's probably taken that out of the equation to a fair extent. I think you go back to the game 2 years ago, I think, that he played
Melbourne?
He started with Thurston, correct, in Melbourne. And, the mail out of that camp, I remember it quite well, was that Thurston talked to the coaching staff and just didn't feel comfortable with the combination with Daly Cherry Evans. But a long time has passed. Look, I spoke to a few people about this yesterday. I was still getting the feeling that Morgan was going to actually wear the six and Munster in the centres. But because of DCE's utility value, and he's played that role really well for Queensland in the past.
He played it before Morgan played it.
Correct, yeah, he had the jump.
Played in the middle.
But then when he started, Jimmy, and you go back to 2014 as well, when Cooper Cronk was out with that arm issue, he's never played the full 80 minutes very well, where he's actually had to lift and control the side.
Key difference, though, as you mentioned, both times he was partnered with Thurston in the halves. This time he's with Cronk. Well, if he gets selected, he's with Cronk. But Morgan and Cronk sort of works, although Morgan's a right-sided player.
Yeah, that's true. And you look at Cronk and you try and maybe draw a line with Blake Green and what he does at Manly. What a player he has been for DCE. I cannot continue to stress that. I think Blake Green has been the key to unlocking him. Daly can just do what he likes. He's an off-the-cuff player. But, you know, still, as per my conversations yesterday, I got the feeling he was going to be on the bench as a utility, but it could change.
That'd work.
Very well.
That works for them. Yeah. Now, Regan Campbell-Gillard has had an upgrade and an extension, that's the two words that footballers love hearing. And you think it's maybe a lesson from Penrith for other clubs about how to look after these players that come out and a little bit disgruntled about what they're getting paid.
That's been the theme of this season, hasn't it? We've had James Maloney, we've had Cody Walker, and we've had Nathan Ross. Mm. All players on contract. All who've made noises about, I'm not being paid enough, I'm in good form, I want an upgrade. It's sort of the new generation's catch cry, isn't it,
yes,
really? And Penrith understand it better than any club.
Yeah.
Of all the clubs, when we see these massive bidding wars that went on a few months ago and all these players on the market, Penrith weren't even in the picture, yet they've got so many star players. Well, why is that? It's because Phil Gould gets ahead of the curve and recognises when a player is going well to reward them accordingly. And I was having a chat with someone close to Regan Campbell-Gillard because he's starting to make a few noises. I reckon if Penrith were going better, he'd be right in the frame for Origin. He's a big, he's aggressive, he's fantastic.
Sterlo wanted him.
Well,
Sterlo pushed him.
I can see why. He's made for Origin. He's really bossing around. He seems to realise, Jimmy, how big he is and what he's capable of. And so Gus has realised that and recently gave him an $80,000 upgrade just as a Christmas bonus in July almost. Here you go.
It wasn't for nothing.
It wasn't, but...
Something would have been tied to it.
But how many clubs would do that?
You can do it. It's a good idea to do it with the players you want to keep. For example, the West Tigers will have an opportunity to do it with Matt Ballin. If he is able to be paid and saying this injury is a new injury, so the insurance will cover it, and then they'll get some salary cap concessions on that for the West Tigers, then they'll be able to pay players who they've got on the books for 18 and 19 and say, here, we'll give you the money now. And then it takes it off their salary cap for later.
Later on, yeah, but I still think it's a proactive move
to
keep him happy, given he's on contract for two more years, because of his form and because of now the new way we look at contracts as if they don't even exist.
Yeah.
Clubs have been calling Regan Campbell-Gillard's manager. I know South's a little bit interested, have been calling and saying, when's he come off? Can we do something? Can he come off early? Mm. And because of these moves, and I think Gus did it with your Cartwrights, your Moylands a few years ago as well, they just don't go anywhere, and they've locked up this generation of stars.
Mm. All right, Josh, let's talk about the militant action of athletes these days. We're talking long and hard about what's happening in the world of cricket, and terrible for the fans, terrible for the game. It's a bad look. Overall, people are sitting on both sides. What's happening in the world of rugby league?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. It's with the salary cap you're talking with the
just the militant action of you know you're talking about Gus and all the rest of it. You know, I mean, where's rugby league at with all that?
Well, so there's been meetings behind the scenes with the RLPA and the NRL.
I'm it's hearing quite though, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm still hearing $9.5 million salary cap. Rugby league's different from cricket in that it won't fall off a cliff like cricket is going to tomorrow. With the players being contracted, of course, to the head office. So they're all contracted to their club. So the players actually have to take the action themselves, whereas the cricketers, there's no action for them to take because they just come out of contract. Mm. So it's going to be up to the players if this gets really ugly as we get towards October 31, where everything finishes on October 31 slats. Mm. The club's agreements, participation agreements are up. The players' CBA is up. But let's not forget AFL was in this situation as well.
Well, they're all into it. You know, all these sports are fighting for. Well, they're
netball.
They're all trying to go to the cricket model.
The state associations are going
crazy.
Wants
to get away from that model. Yeah. Well, certainly the establishment does.
Absolutely. Hey, Cameron King, this is interesting tonight. It'll be interesting to see whether he starts at 9, and maybe Will Smith gets the start there, but also how he can extend that, because the loss of Kayser Pritchard with Isaac De Goey's not being there as well leaves them really short on hookers at Parramatta, which might be the only issue that stops them from realising their potential into the top 8 this year.
Yeah, I love this story about Cameron King. You know, you got to go to someone like Chase Stanley until you get another one as good. 21 first-grade appearances in 6 years. The most unlucky run of injuries when you consider how prodigious a talent he was as a kid. Appeared in all the articles. I remember back working for the newspaper. He was always the kid back in 2009, 2010 that was going to be the next big thing. And Dragons fans will remember that 2011 World Club Challenge where he won the game for them. Yeah. He'd only played one first grade game and he won the game for them. That is how good he was. But torn pecs, ACLs, broken thumbs, second tier salary cap restraints, they've all stopped him from realising his potential. And even right at the bitter end when Kayser Pritchard was injured, Parramatta had the chance, as we spoke about last week, to sign Michael Leisha from the Eels. And I spoke to Cameron King's mum yesterday and she was going, "Oh my God, not again. This couldn't happen." And Brad Arthur showed a bit of faith and said, no, we're going to back this kid and give him a go. And so these are the best rugby league stories, because the game on the field is about resilience, strength and persistence. But off the field, even more so, with someone like him who's been so much, who got a footy for his first birthday and slept with it like a teddy bear. And ever since that night, his mum said that's all he wanted to do. So a really, really great reward for him. And ironic that the opportunity comes through injury, but probably fitting in a way as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Call now if you want to talk to Josh, 1353-53. Topic without notice. We're talking about Michelle Payne today and this pill that suppresses appetite. The rugby league player who jabs himself up to stay out there. It's been an ongoing debate, I'm sure. What are your thoughts in terms of... It's not performance enhancing at all, is it? It just keeps them in the game.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine. I think there's got to be lines somewhere, I think. And if you're doing something to, I suppose, during a match, it's a painkiller. So you're not exactly...
You're not becoming a better player,
exactly.
Right?
You're not hastening recovery. You're not improving muscle tissue. So you're not getting an advantage, I suppose, in the long term over anyone else. And it's available to everyone. So it's only something you're using. You know, and where do you draw a line? If you ban painkillers, what do you ban? Panadol? Do you ban aspirin? They're painkillers as well.
Mate, if they banned anti-inflammatories and injections and all the rest of it, you'd lose half your players.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
And what about, so when you get into that, okay, it's not making you a better player, but it's allowing you to play. So then it gets murky and talk about the line's got to be somewhere. They're really blurred, because what if you're taking something that aids recovery? You're not making yourself a better player. You're just allowing yourself
to
recover.
Yeah, that's the ice bath, and it's got to be ruled out. It's got to be on the band.
You're not a fan
of
the ice bath, are you?
That's right. I remember Stephen.
There's no scientific... It's hogwash. It's those medicos trying to justify their roles.
So Wayne Marshall, who used to stand in an ice bath up to his belly button after every training session back in the 1990s...
Well, he did it, mate.
...wasting his time.
It's more painful than anything you can do.
Yeah, look, Jimmy, I think it's pain management, and look, one of the big problems for the NRL and all professional sports is prescription drugs.
Yes.
And they're all about pain management. So I would love to see that knocked out of the park. Not for a fact that it gives anyone an unfair advantage, but I think because of the addictive qualities of these things and the problems that they lead to down the track. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just part and parcel of getting a player through 30 grueling weeks of competition.
Good on you, Ken. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you.
Go for it.
Yes, a question for Josh. What is the future for Robbie Farah at South Sydney?
He's there for another year, and I can't see him really going anywhere else after all the upheaval. I detect maybe, you know, a sense of curiosity in your voice as to whether he's happy there at the moment. And I think that's probably justified to some extent, given that he was on the bench earlier in the year and he probably didn't expect that. And, yeah, I think that he wasn't probably entirely happy with that. And, you know, Robbie's the type of guy that wears his heart on his sleeve and doesn't exactly hide his emotion. So I think during that period it was pretty clear things weren't going to plan. But he's back in the starting lineup now. I think that's where he belongs. I go back to the game against Manly where they're absolutely carved up. And he came on and they had an okay 10 minutes there at Allianz Stadium. And I thought that coincided with him. So I think if South push forward with him the way they are, I think they'll be okay. But I think there's deeper problems, mate, than Robbie Farah. I think it's the structure of their attack. I think it's way too programmed. And I think the other guy, if you're a Rabbitohs fan, that you should be concerned about is Adam Reynolds. He's just a shadow of the player he wants.
Yeah,
he doesn't look happy at all, no.
Good on you,
Thanks,
Ken.
Josh. Bye.
Appreciate that. If you want to get in contact with Josh, 1353 53, you're happy to answer some questions. Josh Masood here from Channel 7 and Yahoo 7 as well, the seventh tackle. Now, before we get to more callers, now we all thought about JT with the football and being able to lift the kids and all that sort of thing, but there's actually another motive involved in this as well.
He's a keen golfer.
Right.
He loves his,
there we go.
Does he?
He loves his golf,
is it any good?
As we all do. I think he is. Well, he's competitive. I couldn't imagine JT being bad at anything.
No.
Really? I just couldn't imagine him stinking at anything, you know, whacking it,
does he have
slicing
a
it off the fairway.
Fade on it, like his goal kicking?
That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Just curving around for a hole in one. But
unbelievable.
Yeah, a week ago now, last Thursday when he got the scans?
Yeah.
They found that rotator cuff was almost torn completely through. Had it been torn completely through, that's game over. Mm. They would not have been able to repair that.
Yeah,
and it would have had huge consequences, not only for his football career, but also for his life. The surgeon said, if you keep going with this and want to play Origin 3, you tear it straight through, you can't lift your kids ever again, and you can't swing a golf club either, which would have put an end to his favourite pastime off the field. So he had a good think about it and, obviously decided that he had no other choice. He's doing it tough. He's having the surgery today, actually, up in Townsville. They've elected to go with a surgeon called John Maguire. There, plenty of consultation with Billy Slater's surgeon. This is not too dissimilar to what Billy Slater went through twice, and it's probably of a similar gravity, but the decision was made to go for it in Townsville. He'll be doing his recovery there. He was actually at the game, guys, against Penrith on the weekend, but couldn't stay till full time. That's how tough he's doing it and ended up watching Ethan Lowe's conversion at home. Yeah.
Oh, he would have appreciated that because it was very Jonathan Thurston-like.
With that big crowd there, all there for his 300th, it was a real touching gesture.
Just before we get to Lucky Leo from the Mad Magpie, Josh, is Connor Watson really getting $600,000 a year at the Tigers? Who's the bloke responsible for this? Is it Cleary? Because as it stands, Cleary coached Tigers are going far worse than when Jason Taylor had them. Actually, the whole club from the Harold Matts are going backwards, nearly all the team at the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, I think if it's not 600, it's not far off.
Right.
They've blown Newcastle out of the water. It seemed the talk was that, you know, his parents are on the Central Coast. Newcastle was pretty attractive for him. And they offered him the chance to wear the number 6. But when you're talking that type of coin, I don't think he can knock it back. He's pretty happy living in Coogee, Connor Watson as well. So it works in that way. As for the Tigers as a whole, look, when things are going bad and you can't take a trick, then it really is. But I think it's a bit unfair to judge Ivan, having been parachuted in there in round 5, to try and fix all levels of the club at this amount of time. He's managed to attract players to the club, whether you agree with what they've paid or who they are. He's attracting players to the club, and I suppose on the surface in that department, he's doing a better job than their great foe for the Wooden Spoon and this weekend's opponent, the Newcastle Knights.
Absolutely. Hey, Lucky Leo's there. Go ahead, Lucky Leo.
Morning, boys. Hello, Josh.
Good day, Leo.
On the Broncos.
Yes, mate.
They don't generally tend to lose their players that they want to keep, but there's talks at the moment about their young players leaving, like Monga and Offerengawi and a few other things like that. Has Josh got any inside mail on that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. Tata Moga is going to Newcastle. That's done. That's in the cooling off period. He only had signed a 1-year deal. They wanted to keep him. But, I mean, when you've signed Jack Bird and there's a chance that he'll play in the centres, the guy's a genuine first grader. So he's got to look for an opportunity elsewhere. Herman Esiese as well. I'm still not quite sure whether he'll leave there. I think maybe Newcastle are being used up in that one as a bit of a ratchet for his price. But let's not forget, everyone's forgotten in this discourse, Matthew Lodge. He's going to come into the Broncos side next year.
Killing it, apparently.
He is killing it. That's right. Yeah, he's going really, really well. So a spot has to be found for him. So someone's got to go there. Jai Arrow is the other one. He's probably going to end up at the Titans.
Lee? G'day, Lee.
Just a question on for Josh about Josh McCrone going to Toronto. I was reading something yesterday about that. Is that a done deal?
I'm not sure. I'll have a word to Mary. I'm on the way to the airport to interview them today as they head up to the Gold Coast. So I don't know if it's a done deal or not, but certainly a bit of a fall from grace. I know he's been dropped this weekend to the bench.
Yeah.
But from a starting number 7 in the NRL to second division English Super League, travelling across the Atlantic Ocean every second week, it's an interesting lifestyle change, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Where did Toronto fall into the picture? Do they Super League now or
no?
Okay,
no.
They're one level below.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. No worries. Yeah, it just seems like I'm a mad Dragons supporter. It just seems like the Dragons are starting to fall apart. You know, with Packer going and now McCrone, and yeah, I don't know where we're going to get some players for
good
next
on you,
year.
Lee.
Well done, Lee. Good to chat, Josh. Thank you, mate. Fantastic as ever.
No worries, boys. A pleasure.
See you next week.